This podcast is inspired and presented by Ziglar, the most trusted name in personal development, influencing over 250 million people worldwide. Let them inspire your true performance at Ziglar.com.
Ziglar. Ziglar. Inspiring true performance.
Hey, this is Blake Lindsay, and I want to welcome you to our Ziglar Inspire podcast. Have you made a big purchase before? You know, like a car, house, or boat? If so, then you may be able to relate to Zig's experience. Zig bought a car from a professional salesperson. The reason I express the word professional is because the sales guy was very good and Zig went to school on him. And you can too. Zig will point out many valuable sales lessons along the way, while entertaining us with his trademark storytelling. Let's enjoy listening to Zig Ziglar.
I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky, where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
We need to understand that sometimes people buy for the silliest of reasons or the minutest reasons. I made a sales call many years ago on a training company, on a company that needed a lot of training. We'd done some work with them before. They liked what we did. They recognized the benefits from there. But as they were talking, there were four partners that back and forth, you know, and they couldn't come to a decision. And they said, well, we're going to buy, but one day we'll just get around to it and do it. I said, in other words, when you've got around to it, is that what you're telling me, that you'll go ahead and order? And he said, that's what I'm saying. Well, at that time, my business card just happened to be round, and on one side of it, it has T-U-I-T. That's for Tuit. Now, I said, you just told me that you would buy as soon as you got around to it. My friend, here is your round to it. Incredibly enough, they bought. Now, suppose I'd walked in and said, I know you guys are going to buy this as soon as you get around to it, so here's around to it. I had to make the sales talk first, didn't I? But all I'm saying is, sometimes for the simplest and sometimes the silliest of reasons, they will go ahead and buy. Now, the reason I mentioned Ben Feldman a moment ago, he said you make the sale when the prospect understands that it will cost him more to do nothing about the problem than to do something about the problem. Well, many years ago when my son was 5 or 6 years old, he wanted a bicycle. So we went bicycle shopping. Now, this is where you get your talking pad out. And we went down and we looked at the quality bike and the price. Now, this was a number of years ago. It was about 30 years ago. The bicycle, the quality bicycle, cost $64.95. Well, for a kid just learning how to ride a bicycle, you're going to bang it up anyhow. You're not going to spend that much money. So we did the prudent thing, quote. We went down and bought the cheap bicycle for $34.95. Well, about 3 weeks later, he had fallen a few times and the handlebars broke. Fortunately, they were still in warranty. We went down and they gave us new handlebars. A couple of months later, he fell too many more times and the handlebars broke again and the warranty was out. So we invested $4.50 in the new handlebars. Couple of months after that, the sprocket and all of those little gears and chains and stuff, it went out. They told us it'd be $15. Well, at that point, we threw in the towel. We had, for him riding that bicycle, 6 months. It had cost us $54.45 and $9 a month. Now, the answer right here that I'm getting at, when a prospect says a price is too high, you ask the question, are you talking about price or cost? See, price is a one-time thing. Cost is an ongoing thing. We then went down and bought that quality bicycle, and it was one of those with the handlebars that you could raise way up. They called them dirt bikes, and I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember when they had those little dirt bikes out. But he rode that bicycle until he was 15 years old. Didn't ride it as much, but he kept riding that bicycle. The only other expense we ever had on it was to buy a couple of new tires, and that had nothing to do with the quality of the bicycle. And as I diagram this to you, when you're doing this, you need to diagram with your prospect. So in other words, the quality bike costs $6.50. Half a year, the cheap bike cost us $9 a month. Mr. Prospect, are you interested in price? Are you interested in cost? Now, many companies can beat us on price. Nobody's going to beat us on cost, if that is a true statement. A number of years ago also, the little copier we had, all of a sudden our business exploded and we needed to buy a new copier. The one we had would do one copy at a time and it had seen its day and it required, we wasted a lot of paper and it never was really very clear and good. We recognized that we needed a new copier. Now, here was the way we ended up figuring this thing. Now, when we started, our copier bank account didn't have anything in it because we hadn't bought anything. Now, what we figured was we would save a minimum of 2 hours a day, and that was minimum. We were doing an awful lot of it. They didn't have these quick print places all over town. They didn't have any of those things. $5 an hour, that meant $10 a day that we were saving. When you put it together, 250 days a year we were in business, that meant at the end of the year, now you're showing your prospect this sort of thing, our copier bank account now has $2,500 in it. At the end of the second year, had $5,000. End of the third year, it was $7,500. End of the fourth year, we had $10,000 and we had the copier. Now, had we not bought the copier, our copier bank account would have had $10,000 in it the first year, $7,500 the second, $5,000 in the third, $2,500 the fourth, and nothing in it the fifth, and we didn't have the copier. And so when you use this kind of thing with a prospect, let me ask you, since you're going to pay for this service anyhow, whether you get it or not, doesn't it make sense? Since you are going to pay for it, go ahead and get it now. Ask the question that leads to the decision. Let me also point out, as we look carefully at all of these things that we are talking about, I want to tell you another sales story because it contains, again, so many sales lessons. Back in 1974, I decided I wanted a new Cadillac. I had been looking at them. I talked to a friend of mine, and he said, well, if you're going to buy a new automobile, don't do anything until you've talked to Chuck Bellis at Myers Cadillac. You can absolutely depend on Chuck. Whatever he tells you, you can absolutely depend on it. It's 100% true. Now, this presentation right here, this part of it I'm making in an effort to share with you that when you practice certain principles, closes are easier. I'll never forget the finest compliment I ever received as a salesperson. I had made the sale. I was prospecting, asking the lady, who could I go see that would also be interested? I said, now, as you know, I'm going to treat everybody with courtesy and respect. If they buy, that's fine. If they don't buy, I'll guarantee you, I will leave there and we'll be friends. I don't use any pressure. She said, that's right. She said, you're the nearest nothing to a salesman I think I have ever seen. Now, why was that the finest comment I'd ever received? She had just bought everything we sold. But she bought it, I didn't sell it. See, when you have that service concept and when you've developed that trust, when a good friend has sent you there, then you're already in pretty good position. So you get the prospect, you're on first base. Get the appointment, you're on second base. Make the presentation, you're on third base. But it's not until you go home that you score. up until then, everybody's time is being wasted. So let me share with you the story about Chuck Bellis. I said to the man who's recommended him, I said, call old Chuck since you know him. Tell him I'm a good guy. Treat me right, and I'm on my way over there. Well, when I got there and pulled into the driveway or pulled in their lone parking spot, there stood this really neatly dressed gentleman who was smiling from ear to ear. He walked over and he said, you got to be Zig Ziglar. And I said, yes, I am. He said, Mr. Ziglar, let me start by telling you, you're driving one of the most beautiful cars I think I have ever seen. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it was. It was a luxury Oldsmobile, two-tone brown, with all of the good stuff on it. He said, man alive, this is a gorgeous car. He said, it's a delight to have you here. He said, I want to show you what we've got to offer. And the good news is we got such a large inventory today, I believe we're going to be able to make a trade. He said, tell you, why don't we do this? Let me get the appraiser and we will let him appraise the car and then we will talk business.
When we fast, we stop eating food and allow our body to repair. The research on the benefits and the reset is profound. The problem is, we like food. We're addicted to food. Me too. Missing a meal or a day of eating is terrifying to a lot of people. So here is ProLawn. It's a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. ProLawn is not a diet. It's science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. ProLawn provides a five-day program where you get snacks and soups and beverages all designed to keep your body in a fasting state, while taking away the difficulty and mindset of deprivation. I've fasted for 5 days with nothing but water, and my physical and mental state was incredible. My struggle was just wanting to fulfill my habit of eating. It was significant. ProLawn took that away. It's amazing. I feel like I'm cheating, but getting the benefits of fasting. So right now, ProLawn is offering What Drives You listeners 10% off their five-day nutrition program. So go to ProLawnLife.com/Kevin. That's ProLawnLife.com/Kevin for the special offer. Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to take about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit.
which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin. airdoctorpro.com, promo code Kevin.
Well, he got in the car with the appraiser, and they went wherever they go when they appraise automobiles. And when he came back, this dude was grinning from ear to ear. And I got to tell you, a thought ran through my mind. Old Chuck loves this car so good, I might get a steal out of this deal. Maybe they'll even give me money in the trade. I mean, that selfish thought ran through my mind. I didn't let it stay very long, but it ran right on through my mind. Old Chuck stepped out of the car, you know, and he said, Mr. Ziegler, the car on the inside is even more beautiful than it is on the outside. You have taken wonderful care of this car. And when he got out, when he closed the door, he stood there in amazement that it had so much quality in it. He opened the door and he closed it again. He said, man alive, the way this car is in condition, we're going to be able to make you a deal today that absolutely is unbelievable. And then he got his pen out. You know, they do some figure two, and he started writing. And he started out, his face was in neutral. But after he'd figured a couple of minutes, you know, it kind of went in reverse, and a slight frown appeared on his face. And the longer he figured, the uglier the frown got. Matter of fact, I'd never seen such a high concentration of ugly in one spot as old Chuck had. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, hey, something's wrong here. I'm not going to be able to make this deal after all. But I'll give old Chuck credit. He is persistent. He kept figuring and he kept figuring and he kept figuring. And slowly but surely, the smile started to come back. And he looked at me with that big old grin. And he said, now remember, this was in 1974, I believe it was. He said, Mr. Ziegler, he said, because of the inventory we had, and because of the marvelous condition of your car, we're going to be able to trade with you for just $73.85. I screamed like a stuck pig. Now, my friend had been telling me about the price of automobiles, but they were talking about their cars and their money. This guy now is talking to me about my money. That's an entirely different subject. I said, Chuck, man alive, that is an expensive transaction. It costs a lot of money. Chuck never panicked. He just looked at me and he said, Mr. Ziegler, is it too much? Now, was he asking me, if this is beyond your financial capability to handle this transaction, be a man and just say so? Or was he saying to me, Mr. Ziegler, I know that you're a prudent man, you like to make good decisions, and you like to get the things that are in your best interest. Now, if he was saying that, I'd plead guilty. You think I'd ever admit I couldn't pay for it? Why, shucks, no, and your prospects are not going to do it either. Well, when he said the $73.85 and I screamed, he said, Mr. Ziegler, what do you think would be a fair price between your wonderfully taken care of 4.5-year-old luxury Oldsmobile in change for our beautiful new Sedan DeVille Cadillac? And I said, well, Chuck, I've always believed in round numbers. I think $7,000, if that includes the tax, that would be a fair price. He looked at me and he said, Mr. Ziegler, he said, I don't think there's a chance in 7 million. You're talking about cutting off the 385, cutting off the 350 in sales tax. You're talking about over $700. There's no way we could do that. But let me ask you a question, Mr. Ziegler. If the appraiser should go along with you, are you prepared to drive this car home with you tonight? It suddenly hit me, that old boy's serious about selling automobiles. And I did the same thing your prospects do to you on many occasions when you've been doing some negotiation, you know. When you make them the deal, make them the offer, they'll start crawfishing. That's what I did. I said, old Chuck, I don't know. My money just don't come that easy. And $7,000, that's a whole lot of money. And the thought came through my mind, is that the color I wanted? Did I want a Sedan DeVille or did I want another model? All of those kind of questions. I said, I don't know about that, Chuck. And he didn't say anything, but he got his talking pad and he said, Mr. Ziegler, let's start here on the $73.85. He said, now I'm absolutely certain that we can make you that offer. We've already made you that offer. And Mr. Ziegler, we don't back out on our offers. Mildly dangerous, but just mildly, because he had been warned that I was guilty on occasion of pulling both legs at the same time. So he knew something about his prospect, you see. We don't back out on our deal. But Mr. Ziegler, we'll talk about this 7385 because I know we can make you that deal. Now let me tell you what it boils down to. At that price, figuring it out, 4.5 years, it means that you've only invested $600 a year the last 4 years in driving this incredibly beautiful, high-powered Oldsmobile. And he said, Mr. Ziegler, you can't even drive a Chevrolet that cheap. And I thought to myself, Ziegler, you clever rascal. Those other people pay $600 a year to drive a Chevrolet. You've had the finest Oldsmobile on the market, and it only cost you $600 a year. What a bright guy you are. And then I realized what he was doing to me. I said, Chuck, man alive, that's still too much money. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Mr. Ziegler. He said, I'll go back to the appraiser and present your case. And I want you to know, I really hope we can make a deal, because I believe it will be in both of our best interests. But I'm going to tell you, the odds are against it. Well, he disappeared for a few minutes. He came back and he said, this is kind of embarrassing. The appraiser had an emergency at home and he had to immediately go home. So he said, let me ask you a question, Mr. Ziegler. Will you be able to sleep tonight not knowing whether or not you've bought this beautiful new Sedan DeVille Cadillac? I said, Chuck, somehow or another, I think I'll struggle through. He said, now, normally we don't consider it sold until the papers have been signed and the contract has been okayed. We normally get people to make a deposit or do something as a good faith thing that, yes, you are serious. But he said, if I'm reading you right, Mr. Ziegler, I believe you're a man of integrity. And if you tell me that, yes, if it includes everything for the $7,000, you'll buy this car. Am I reading you right, Mr. Ziegler? Now, was I going to say, no, Chuck, actually, I'm a big liar. I'm just teasing you. I'm going to say, no, you described me perfectly, Chuck. That's exactly what I'm going to do. He said, I'll call you first thing in the morning. Next morning, when I walked in my office at 8:30, the phone was ringing. It was Chuck Bellis on the phone with a lot of enthusiasm. He said, Mr. Ziegler, I got wonderful news for you. We're going to be able to make the swap, including everything, for just $7,200. I knew then I'd bought the car for my $7,000. You can put this in the bank and take it there and deposit it. When people compromise once, whether it's on price or morality, the second compromise is down the road. I said, Chuck, I was so pleased yesterday when you complimented me so sincerely that I was a man of integrity, that my word was my bond. He said, are you telling me that $7,000 is all you're going to give? I said, Chuck, we're communicating. We're on the same page right now. He said, I'll get back to you in a minute. He called me back and he said, do you want me to bring you the car or will you come pick it up? I said, Chuck, I like to have them delivered. Well, I'm telling you, it was really, it was quite an experience. But let me tell you why I tell this story in such detail. Let me share with you what had happened there and why all of this is so important. Not one time did he ever, ever get in an argument with me. There are actually 25 lessons in this little story. First of all, his reputation got me there. You see, my friend had said to him, Mr. Ziegler, you can count on what Chuck has to say. Our whole conversation lasted less than 20 minutes. But Chuck had been working on me for 22 years. Because 22 years earlier, he had made the decision he was going to sell Cadillac automobiles for Roger Meyer Cadillac, and he did until they went out of business or they were bought out here some little while back. So with his reputation, most of his business was repeat business, and that reputation was important. The way he was dressed, he greeted me professionally dressed and with a great big smile. He bragged on my previous purchase. The most foolish thing any salesperson can ever do is criticize another purchase that they had made previously. What you're saying is, you dummy, why did you fall victim to that sort of thing? You know what their first thought's going to be? Yeah, they did take advantage of me, but friend, I got my eyes on you, and you're not going to take advantage of me. You can absolutely count on it. Listen, he bragged to the high heaven about my wisdom. He had inquired of me and asked me some questions. You mind telling me where you got this car? I said, well, my neighbor across the street is a General Motors executive. He said, did you get one of those executive cars? I said, yes, I did. He said, hey, I bet you got a good deal, didn't you? I said, as a matter of fact, I did. And I told him the price I'd paid for it. He said, man, that was a good deal. I'll tell you what else it did. I just loaded the first barrel of his sales shotgun. He asked the question, I answered it. Now he's ready. We ask questions, and they will tell us what it's going to take to sell them. It was quite an experience.
What did you learn from the story? Is there something that you can apply today to your job to make you a better salesperson? Whether you are selling ideas to your boss, your kids, or selling the next corporate initiative to your staff, remember we are all in sales in one way or another. So go sell somebody something today. I'm Blake Lindsay, reminding you to please share the Ziglar podcast with somebody this week. I believe they'll be glad you did. Until next week, live your life to the fullest.
Ziglar. Inspiring true performance.